So there are a handful of quarterbacks who could go high in next month's NFL draft. The two kids, Rosen and Darnold, who played at UCLA and USC down there in Southern California. Baker Mayfield is another name, and he could be, I mean, maybe this is something Adam Kaplan could fill in for us, but he could be the most pro-ready quarterback. And he could go in the first round. And Sports Illustrated is out with a report, came out yesterday, claiming that an undisclosed NFL team stuck a private investigator on Mayfield for a period of time. Is this acceptable behavior? Does this cross the line? How frequent is this? I have to sit here and say that I'm not entirely surprised by it. I do believe pro sports teams in all sports do this when they feel it's necessary. Adam Kaplan is with us now from SiriusXM. Adam, were you surprised by this SI report?
Guys, good to talk to you today. Now, this happens. I mean, teams will do. They'll dig. They'll go back to high school. They'll have people show up to places where they know the player hangs out. This is not uncommon. I mean, especially for Mayfield, who should be a first round pick. I met Baker last weekend at the Maxwell Club Awards in Atlantic City. And he's a kid who people just want to get to know a little better. He doesn't really have any off-the-field issues. He's a different kid, brings a lot of attitude to the game, and people want to learn a lot more about him.
Yeah. Do you know, of course, you know, you're not going to divulge any examples, but do you know of specific examples that you've been told about where other teams have done this with other draft-eligible players?
You might remember many years ago when Jamarcus Russell was drafted, the Raiders had some concerns, so supposedly Al Davis, the late owner, then had a private investigator going in the background of Jamarcus Russell. This goes on in other sports. This is not the first time I've heard about this.
Yeah, no. Maybe Al Davis should have hired a different PI the way it worked out with Jamarcus Russell there.
So, Adam, is there... I guess now the conversation turns to, is it unscrupulous? Is it something that shouldn't be done? I mean, is there people in the league or agents that think that this shouldn't be done?
Well, it's not done a lot. It's done typically when a team or teams have major concerns about a player, especially a first-round quarterback. That's kind of where this starts. You have to dig. In fact, that's why teams will go back to high school, sometimes to grade school. They'll talk to friends, family members. They typically don't leave a stone unturned when it comes to any player who's a quarterback in the first round where they're concerned. And I think that's with Mayfield, there really aren't. It's just that he's just a different kid. He definitely brings an attitude, and you kind of want to get to know who the player is. It seems the story's a little bit over the top, but it's typical this time of year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I totally understand why a team would do it, why a general manager or president of football ops would. If you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you're hoping he'll be a franchise guy. And if you hit on that, you could have a long and successful career with that organization. If that pick goes wrong, then you're circling back if you even keep your job in the first place. So I think it's totally appropriate, and hopefully the kid has nothing to hide. Who's impressed you most? Which team has impressed you most with its work in free agency over the last week?
Yeah, so that's really what I'm working on. I'm not really on in the draft now. I've done my study of the quarterbacks, but nothing else matters to me right now other than free agency. And when you really look at it, because free agency is first, and you have the draft in late April. I like the job that the Vikings have done. They get Kirk Cousins. They get an upgraded quarterback. They just signed Sheldon Richardson, the veteran defensive tackle, who's one of the probably five or six best defensive tackles in the league. They wanted a one-gap penetrator. They'll get that in Sheldon Richardson. The only issue now for the Vikings going forward is their offensive line. They probably need to add two or three. They're going to probably lose two of them. So I think that's a position that they got to help Kirk Cousins with. But other than that, I think they've done a very good job. I think the world champion Eagles, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, have done a really good job. They cut Vinny Curry, one of their starting defensive ends, within the last hour. They tried to trade him. They tried to restructure his contract. He wouldn't do it to take a pay cut. So he's out. He'll have no problem finding a team. Defensive end is awful in free agency, so I think he'll be able to find a team. So I like what the Eagles have done. I like what the Jaguars have done. They added several players. This is a team that made the championship game. They fortified their offensive line with Andrew Norwell. I like the job they did. But typically, guys, I think when you look at free agency, you supplement your roster through it. You can't build through it. You build through the draft and you supplement through free agency. That is what the Eagles did last year, and that was a big reason why they won the Super Bowl.
I have a question about Case Keenum, and off of that, I'll spin back toward the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. Adam, what do you believe about Case Keenum and his ability to replicate in 2018 what he accomplished last season?
You know what? It's interesting. So from talking to the Vikings, that was their big concern, whether he could do it again. Now, he started nearly a full season, and he played the best he's had in his career by far. He was terrific. I mean, no question about it. He played like a top 10 quarterback, without question. But I don't got the feeling that they thought the money that he would want, they would be able to pay, because he had never done this before. Whereas Kirk Cousins has been a solid quarterback for years. But I would argue, I don't think he'd ever played to Case Keenum's level from this past season. But they're banking on it with the coaching change and offense coordinator with John DeFilippo, who did a great job as Eagles quarterbacks coach, probably the best quarterback coach in the league. They're banking on those two together, along with quarterbacks coach Kevin Stefanski, getting Cousins to play to the next level, which would be top 10 level, which he's not played at yet. But they're paying him to be at $28 million a year.
Right. So from a value perspective, and to me it's just about wins and losses. I mean, if the Minnesota Vikings take that next step, and they by rights could have been they had a huge victory over the Saints in an exciting way. By rights, they could have gone out in that game, though, the way things played out. If he can get them to the Super Bowl, money doesn't matter. It's all about wins at crucial time of the year. But from a value perspective, you're not concerned that Cousins is being overpaid by the Vikes. I know everybody thought he was going to be.
Here's what I'll just tell you. So I reported last weekend that, from talking to people that I trust, Kirk Cousins was going to sign with the Vikings the following week. The deal would average a minimum of $27 million and wound up, when they finished it, being $28 million. When you look at Case Keenum's deal, his two-year deal averages $18 million. And when you compare the two deals, you'd say, boy, the Broncos are paying $10 million less per season, and the Broncos could also get out of it after 1 year, and they don't have to worry about more than $7 million. Only $7 million is guaranteed, fully guaranteed in a second year. So it's a better value for the Broncos. And by the way, the Broncos wanted Kirk Cousins. Don't let them fool you. They said today, Case Keenum was our guy, our number one choice. That's not true, but they're going to make you think it was. But Case Keenum is a guy that did it last season. Now he goes to a new team, two really good receivers, and we'll see how they do going forward.
So now we talk about, you know, the offseason, free agency, everything, Adam. And there seems to be some excitement around what the Cleveland Browns are doing. Is that legitimate?
Yeah, you know, I said this on Twitter the other day that it's good to see a real front office in there. They had a bunch of amateurs running it before, and it was just totally disjointed. They're actually spending money in free agency, not trying to lose anymore. They're actually trying to win, and they still have a great amount of cap space and draft picks. So, yeah, I think with Tyrod Taylor, who's a one-year stopgap, I could see them winning six more games than they did last year. Of course, they didn't win any games. So I think they're going to be much improved. And I like that John Dorsey, the GM, brings a real film viewer to the building, whereas Sashi Brown, who oversaw personnel, was an attorney who didn't really know football.
Yeah, and Paul D. Podesta was a baseball guy, more or less. A stats guy, but a baseball guy.
Analytics, yes.
Analytics is background. Thanks so much for this, Adam. We really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Guys, thank you.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider.